to be done. We have the new temple, new columns installed, and some other wood trim. See the wood trim on the ceilings. There's still some more work to be done, both trim work, and also you'll see eventually some nice vimanas over each of the deities and with kalishas. So the kalishas came from India, so we have yet to finish the construction. But all of this was planned. You know, some people told me, Swamiji, you mean the temple's not done? You got used to looking at it like that, but I knew what the plans were. So it's nice, finally we're getting all that done. All right. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavhiryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So today is a very happy day for this class because we begin the next chapter, and a very exciting chapter, arguably the most, if you can call it exciting, the most exciting chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, which is chapter 11. We'll be starting its verses today. We'll begin with some recitation. Repeat after me, please.
Arjuna Uvacha, Madanukrahaya Paramam, Guhyamadhyatma Sanyatam, Yatvayoktam Vachastena, Mohoyam vigato mama, Bhavapyayau hi bhutanam, Shutau vistarasho maya, Twattah kamalapatraksha, Twattah param. Mahatmyamapi chavyayam, evametadyatha tattvam atmanam parameshvara drashtumichhami te rupam aishwaram purushottama Manyase yari tat chakyam, maya drashtumiti prabho, darshayatmanam avyayam, Shri Bhagavanuvacha, pashya me partha rupani, nana vidhani divyani, nana varna kritini cha, pashyadityan vasun rudran, ashvinau marutastata, pahunyadrishtapurvani, Pashyascharyani Bharata, Ihaikastam Jagat Krishnam, Pashyadya Sacharacharam, Mama Dehe Gurakesha, Yachanyadrashtumichasi, Natu mam shakyase drashtum,
Anenaiva svachakshusha, anenaiva chaschakshusha. Divyam dadami te chakshuhu, divyam. Pashya me yogam aishwaram, Sanjaya vacha. Evam uktva tato rajan, evam. Mahayogeshwaro harihi, darshayamasa parthaya. Haramam rupam aishwaram, aneka vaktra nayanam, aneka adbhuta darshanam, aneka divyabharanam, divya neko yathayudham. So, beginning this new chapter is thank you. This new chapter, chapter 11, Vishwarupa Darshanam. Darshanam, the seeing of the Lord's Vishwarupa, his cosmic form. Now, sometimes it's nice to reflect on our study of the Bhagavad Gita. Could someone turn the overhead lights on, maybe? The room is a little dark. Now, every piece of literature, and Bhagavad Gita, of course, is literature. Literature has a dramatic high point. You ever learn in a class many years ago how drama builds and builds to a peak and then comes down? Well, the peak of drama in the Bhagavad Gita is chapter 11 that we're starting now, where the Lord reveals his cosmic form. And bear in mind that the Bhagavad Gita is a 700-verse segment in the middle of the Mahabharata, in the middle of the 100,000 verses of the Mahabharata. If this chapter is the dramatic high point of the Bhagavad Gita, it could even be considered the dramatic high point of that entire Mahabharata, of the entire 100,000 verses. And the reason for this is the significance of the event. Sri Krishna, who we understand as Bhagavan in a human-like form, Sri Krishna reveals, not just to Arjuna, but to all of us. He reveals his vastness, his true form, his Vishwarupa, his cosmic form. It's very impressive indeed when you see Arjuna's response, and of course our own responses. We're kind of watching over Arjuna's shoulder as Sri Krishna reveals his cosmic form. So it's a wonderful chapter. It's extremely poetic. Like the last chapter was poetic, this chapter is also poetic, but it's also more of a narrative, which means our style of teaching will shift a little bit here. There's not so much teaching present in this chapter as story. Akhyaya is story. So we'll go a little bit more rapidly through the verses. Where there's importance in some verse, we'll spend some time on it as appropriate. But what we want to do in this chapter 11 is immerse ourselves in the very intense story as it unfolds. And you'll see, as Arjuna asks Sri Krishna to reveal his cosmic form, as Sri Krishna agrees to do so, endowing Arjuna with this divya drishti, this ability to see. And as Sri Krishna reveals his cosmic form, Arjuna is not only in awe, Arjuna is overwhelmed to the point of getting shaken and finally requesting Sri Krishna to go back to the way you were before, because it's too much for Arjuna to handle. A nice way to get the overview would be to go ahead and recite our English version. This English version, as you remember, is composed in a meter That's the same as the Anushtubh Chandas of much of the Bhagavad Gita, so we can recite it using the same kind of melody. For the first verse, listen and repeat, and then we'll chant together. So this is a slightly abbreviated form of chapter 11. Arjuna said, to indulge me you have revealed, to indulge me you have the highest secret of yourself, the highest secret of, and by these words you have now said, and by these words you have, my confusion has been removed, my confusion. We'll recite together, do the best you can. Now if you think it possible for me to see your godly form, O Lord, then unto me reveal your own true everlasting self. The blessed Lord said, O Arjuna, behold my forms in the hundreds and thousands yet multifarious heavenly, of all colors and of all shapes. Behold now the entire world, animate and inanimate, and all health that you wish to see here within this body of mine. But to see me you have no power, your own eyesight is limited. I grant you a vision divine. Now behold my majestic might. Sanjaya said, O King, after he spoke these words, Sri Krishna, Lord of yogic power, revealed himself to Arjuna, showing his cosmic form supreme. If in the sky a thousand suns were to rise simultaneously, such would be like the blazing light of the Lord's great magnificence. Arjuna's, whose hair stood on end by amazement, was overcome. He bowed his head in reverence and prayerfully addressed the Lord. Arjuna said, O Lord of all universal form, thy immense vastness I behold, countless arms, eyes, bellies, and mouths, glaring so bright it hurts my eyes, I see. Sun and moon are thy two eyes, thy flaming mouths devour the worlds, destroying them with scorching heat. From the heavens down to the earth, thy expanse fills the space between. Seeing this dreadful form of thine, all worlds tremble, and so do I. Seeing thy mouths with gaping teeth, blazing like world-destroying fire, I feel bewildered, terrified. O Lord, show mercy unto me. Into thy mouths, Dhritarashtra's sons, enter along with throngs of kings, Bhishma, Drona, and Karna too, even our own great warrior chiefs. They quickly race into thy mouths, gaping with ghastly, dreadful teeth. Some men whose heads are crushed remain, sticking out, caught between thy teeth, like rivers flowing to the sea, or like moths drawn to glowing fire. So to these most courageous men, rush to enter thy flaming mouths. Tell me, who art thou, dreadful one? Salutations, have mercy, Lord. I want to comprehend thy truth, but thy ways I don't understand. The blessed Lord said, I am time destroyer of worlds. I came to decimate these men, all these warriors standing opposed. Even without you they shall die. Therefore stand up, be valorous. Conquer these foes, dominion gain. I have already slain them all. You are merely an instrument. Sanjaya said, having thus heard Lord Krishna's words, Arjuna, trembling with fright, folded his hands and bowed again. Then he spoke, stammering in awe. Arjuna said, Thou art primal, eternal God, in whom the universe abides, supreme abode, nowhere unknown. Thou pervades the eternal world. Salutations, salutations, in the thousands, homage to Thee, infinite power, measureless might. Thou art total, embracing all. Brashly I took Thee as a friend, behaving disrespectfully, ignorant of Thy majesty, for that I beg pardon of Thee. With my prayers bowing low, Thy indulgence I beg of Thee. Please do be merciful, O Lord, like a father or like a friend. My mind reels from terror and fright, shaken by this fantastic sight. I wish to see Thee as before. Please return to Thy prior form. The Blessed Lord said, being pleased with you I have shown, through my own power this form supreme, brilliant, vast, limitless, foremost, but for you never seen before. Do not tremble, be not confused, seeing my most terrible form. Be of cheer again, free from fear. Behold now my form as it was. Sanjaya said, Lord Krishna, after speaking thus, reappeared in his prior form. Having assumed a pleasant guise, he comforted the frightened one. Arjuna said, O Krishna, once again, this pleasing human form of yours, my composure has now returned, restored to normal is my mind. The Blessed Lord said, this form which you have now beheld is very rare to see indeed. To behold it, even the gods are all yearning eternally, not by study or discipline, nor charity or sacrifice, can I ever be thus perceived in the way you have now beheld. But through devotion firm and strong, can I in my reality be discovered just as I am, and be attained, O Arjuna.
Wow. We have some really intense story to go through here. And you'll find that the Sanskrit is far more intense than English. English is nice because you get the whole thing very quickly. It's like, what do they call it? Cliff's Notes? You get the whole thing. It's just really brief and condensed. But sometimes it's helpful to get the big picture in a brief, condensed form before we go through in detail. We'll proceed with a verse-by-verse study of this. And you'll see both the beauty of the poetry and the intensity of the unfoldment of Sri Krishna's Vishwarupa, his cosmic form. And as we proceed, we'll also talk about some of the symbolism. In fact, especially the symbolism of this divya drishti, this ability to see what can't ordinarily be seen. We won't get there today, but in the coming classes we'll be talking about that.
So let's begin then our verse-by-verse study. Chapter 11 is called Vishwarupa Darshana, the revelation of the cosmic form. And we'll return to the first verse.
Arjuna Uvacha Madanukrahaya Paramam Mana Guhyamadhyatma Sangyatam Guhyamad Yatva Yoktam Vachasthena Mohoyam Vigato Mama. Good.
So the chapter opens with Arjuna's question to Sri Krishna. And the usual form is you don't just blurt out a question, but you build up to a question. We saw that in a previous chapter. Remember where Arjuna wanted Sri Krishna to tell him all of his glories very extensively. So Arjuna had a big request. And remember, there were several verses leading up to his request. We jokingly called it buttering up before you ask the big question. Just like when you were children and wanted to ask your parents for something big, you would kind of prepare them. And so that's what's happening here. Arjuna is preparing for the big question. The big question, of course, being to reveal his Sri Krishna's Vishwarupa. So Arjuna begins. Yet, it started with, should mention, Mad Anugrahaya Paramam. In chanting that, did that sound a little awkward? Mad Anugrahaya Paramam. Mad Anugrahaya Paramam. There are 9 syllables in that quarter. In this Anushtubh Chandas, in this particular meter, generally every quarter has 8 syllables. Occasionally there's an oddball, so to speak. And as I just share with you a funny observation, as a young student that bothered me. Because I was studying a lot of grammar. God, so much grammar I was studying. And I had to learn all these really complicated rules because Sanskrit has all these really complicated rules. One of the rules in prosody is Anushtubh Chandas has 8 syllables and quarter, and I was trying my hand at composing some Sanskrit verse, and I found it pretty difficult to make sure that you have not just 8 syllables, but the right combination of short and long. For example, the 5th syllable has to be short. The 6th syllable has to be long. The 7th syllable has to be alternating short and long. These are the rules for this poetic meter. Most of the Bhagavad Gita is in this meter called Anushtubh Chandas. So when I'm studying Bhagavad Gita and I come to, there are just 1 or 2 verses in the whole text, which, like this, bend the rules. And I was outraged. How can this be? After all, I have to follow all these rules. Can't Vyasa, the composer of this Mahabharata, if I have to follow the rules, then Vyasa has to. And I felt, as a young student, I was a little rigid and felt, what's wrong with these verses? Why can't you? The argument could be made that Vyasa, there are some silly arguments. One argument is Vyasa made a mistake. Huh? That's hardly a good argument. Another argument goes, the counter argument is, why couldn't Vyasa have done it correctly? Could have. It's not hard. Anyone can take a verse, anyone who knows Sanskrit well enough, you can take a verse like this and change it to make it work. It's not a big deal. It's not impossible by any means. So then that left me struggling. Well, then in the whole Bhagavad Gita, I think there are 3 verses which bend the rules in places. It's not many, if you think about it, out of the 700 verses. But why even those 3? And it took me years to understand why. This is poetry.
Who cares about rules? This is poetry. Poetry is supposed to be intense, and it's conveying emotions. And here I am, the hard-headed grammar student, struggling with rules. You get the point? The point is not following the rules of grammar. The point is powerful poetry. So in powerful poetry, if the poet wants to break rules, let him. In fact, sometimes power comes from breaking rules. Just, this is a really inappropriate example, but it makes a point. Swear words, four-letter words, have a place in language. Really, they have their own power, and the power comes because they break the rules. On the other hand, if someone uses these dirty words all the time, you notice how it loses its power? Because you're breaking the rules all the time. So these four-letter words gain their power because they're rare exceptions breaking the rules. So one could say that a breaking of the rule like this is a rare exception, three times in the whole Bhagavad Gita, and that shows that the poet is really committed to the verse and therefore is willing to break the rules in his verse. So in a way, it calls our attention to the verse. Pretty soon, the verses are going to change from this Anushtubh Chandas having 8 syllables to this Trishtubh Chandas having 11. By the way, I apologize for being so academic right now. We'll get into the verse in just 2 seconds. But you'll see that the change of meter, which will come a little bit later in the chapter, draws our attention, catches our attention. And in the same way, this added syllable in this verse catches our attention. Because as you're chanting, you stumble a little bit. It catches your attention. So this looks pretty deliberate on a part of Vyasa. And the fact that it's on the first verse of this new chapter, what do you think that's telling us? He said, hey, pay attention. This is some exciting stuff coming. That's the subtext, so to speak. So in this verse, Arjuna says, start with the second line. Yat tvaya uktam vachaha. Yet, that which, tvaya, we have to break the words apart. That which tvaya, by you, O Krishna, that which by you, tvaya uktam, that which was said. What was said? Vachaha, vachas. That statement. Those statements which have been said by you, which are, now go to the first line, mat anugrahena. Becomes mad anugrahena. The words are mat anugrahena, which are anugrahaya. Which are for blessing mut, me. These statements which you have already said, referring mostly to the prior chapter, could be to the entire Bhagavad Gita, but mostly the references to the prior chapter. So what you said in the prior chapter, which is mud anugrahena, for the sake of blessing me, and what you've told me is this paramam guhyam, this paramam supreme guhyam secret. The supreme secret you have told me in the prior chapter to bless me, this supreme secret which is adhyatma sanyatam, this secret which is sanyatam, namely, it is all about adhyatma with regard to, adhyatma means your true self, true nature. Talking about Sri Krishna's true nature. Adhyatma sanyatam. All of that which has been taught about your true nature, about Krishna's true nature, which is paramam guhyam, which is the highest of all secrets, which is madanugrahaya, for the sake of blessing me, Arjuna says, all of this was uktam, was said, tvaya, by you, and as a result, tena, by that, as a result of all that, mama ayam mohaha. Mama, my, I am mohaha. This moha, this confusion, I am moha, this confusion, mama, of mine, is vigataha, is gone away. You have destroyed this ignorance of mine with regard to your true self by all that you have told me in the prior chapters, especially the prior chapter where Sri Krishna talked about his vibhutis.
So Arjuna here is preparing for the big question by, so to speak, buttering up Sri Krishna, praising Sri Krishna for all of his powerful teachings which have helped him and have dispelled that moho yam vigata mama, have dispelled my ignorance, is usually how that will be translated. Then Arjuna continues, bhavapyayau hi bhutanam, bhavapyayau shutau vistarasho maya, shutau twatta kamalapatraksha, twatta mahatmyam apichavyayam. Bhava apyayauhi bhutanam shutau vistarashaha maya. Shutau maya. Shutau. Shuta means heard. Maya, by me. Shutau, two things. It's actually a dual number. Shutau, two things have been heard, maya, by me, Arjuna says. And been heard how? Vistarashaha. Very elaborately. Two things I have understood, Arjuna says. Two things I've understood from all that you have taught me in the prior chapter. What are those two things? Bhava and apyaya. Bhava apyaya, again in the dual number. Bhava, creation. Apyaya, dissolution. So bhava apyaya hi bhutanam. Bhutanam, of all creatures. The origin and dissolution of all creatures. These two things, he, indeed, shutau, have been heard, maya, by me, vistarashaha, very elaborately. So recall in the prior chapter, in Vibhuti Yoga, Sri Krishna said, I am the origin of all. I am the one unto whom all return at the end of time. So all of this was taught. These are big teachings. If you think about that, the universe comes forth from Ishvara. The universe returns unto Ishvara. These are core teachings of this tradition, very important teachings. So all of this has been heard, twattaha, in the second line, twattaha, from you. O Krishna, all of this I have heard, twattaha, from you. And I'm laughing because Kamala Patraksha, this is how he addresses Sri Krishna. Kamala Patraksha, one whose aksha, whose eyes are as lovely as Kamala Patraksha, the leaves of a lotus. Now tell me, does that sound like something a warrior would speak on a battlefield? It just strikes me that perhaps, remember that this is not a verbatim transcript of what Arjuna and Sri Krishna spoke on the battlefield. Vyasa was a great poet, a great lover of language. This expression sounds perhaps a little bit more like Vyasa's expression and perhaps a little less like, remember, Arjuna was a mighty warrior. And this mighty warrior is going to talk to his charioteer and say, you have lovely eyes. Sorry for being a little silly here, but the word stands out. Because most of the expressions are, most of the terms that Arjuna calls by Sri Krishna, Mahabahu, O mighty armed ones, Hrishikesha, O Lord of the senses. So most of the terms of address are very warrior-like. This one, not so much. So anyway, Arjuna addresses Sri Krishna and says, all of this has been heard by me, and all of it was taught twattaha by you. All of this Mahatmyam api, along with your glories, your mahatmya. I've also heard from you not only about you being the origin and dissolution of the universe, but I've also been taught about your mahatmyam, your glories, your grandeur, and also, which is avyayam, limitless, boundless, which means no matter how much you talk about those glories, there's no end to them. Remember the very end of the prior chapter. Sri Krishna finally said, you know, he's narrating all of his vibhutis, all of his glories, and he went on for 20 or more verses, and finally Sri Krishna said, well, that's all I'm going to tell you for now. I'm telling you the short form. I'm telling you in brief, because truly speaking, a full narration of my glories, I'm paraphrasing Sri Krishna, a full narration of my glories is endless. And that's true. That's how we understand Ishvara, the God of the cosmos, is infinite. We talk about Ananta Guna, especially in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, among those devoted primarily to Lord Vishnu. They describe Bhagavan frequently as having Ananta Guna, infinite qualities, infinite strength, infinite values, everything infinite. Here, Avyayam. There's no end, there's no termination to your mahatmya, your glories. Then Arjuna leads up to his question.
Evam etad yatha tattvam, evam etad yatha atmanam parameshvara, drashtum icchami te rupam, Aishwaram Purushottama.
What a contrast. Here Arjuna addresses Lord Krishna, look at the end of each line. He addresses Lord Krishna first as Parameshvara, as Lord of, as Supreme Lord, Parameshvara, and also Purushottama, as the greatest of all beings, as a cosmic being. What a contrast. Here, Parameshvara, Supreme Lord, Purushottama, highest being, prior verse, Kamala Patraksha, O lotus-eyed one. So that's why it stands out, doesn't it? It stands out.
So here, Arjuna, addressing Sri Krishna with these very powerful terms now. He says, evam,
hey, maybe that's the buttering up part. Maybe in a prior verse, just, why would that expression be used? Sorry for going on and on like this, but it puzzles me. Why a mighty warrior, why would a mighty warrior suddenly use such a soft, tender kind of expression? Well, maybe that's how he's preparing Sri Krishna for this question. Question comes here. Evam, thus, etat, this, yatha atta tvam, yatha, just as tvam, you, atta, you spoke, atta, just as you spoke, the manner in which you've spoken atmanam, about yourself. So, evam, thus, referring to what's come before. So, Sanskrit is a little peculiar here. Let me paraphrase. This much, O Arjuna, I'm sorry, O Krishna, this much you have already told me about yourself, atmanam, about yourself. Evam, thus. Thus you have told me this much about yourself, but now, he says, drashtum icchami, icchami, I want. Drashtum, to see. Sanskrit is very clear. I want to see. To see what? Te rupam. Te, your. Rupam, your form. I want to see your form. Well, hey, Sri Krishna is already standing right there in the chariot with him. I want to see your form. What form? Aishwaram. I want to see your godly form. I want to see your divine form. Aishwaram Rupam. your godly form. Purushottama, O greatest being, O supreme being, I want to see. You've told me all this in the previous chapter, but now I want to see your cosmic form, your godly form. Manyase yadi tat chakyam, manyase yadi tat chakyam, maya drashtumiti prabho, maya drashtumiti prabho, yogeshwara tato metvam, yogeshwara tato metvam, darshayatmanam avyayam. Yadi manyase, yadi, if, manyase, if you think, if you consider, tat shakyam, tat, that, shakyam, is possible. If you think that is possible, Arjuna asked, said, I want to see your Aishwara Rupa, your godly form. So he continues here, if you think it's possible, shakyam, if you think it's possible, maya drashtum, for maya, by me, drashtum, to see. If you think it's possible for me to see, iti, thus, if you think it's possible for me to see your godly form, O Krishna, and here he calls Krishna, Prabho, O Lord. What a contrast. So here, Prabho, and the next word, Yogeshwara, also address of Lord Krishna, O Lord of the Yogis, O Lord of Yoga. All of these powerful terms of address really makes that Kamala that Kamala Patraksha really stands out. I'm pausing because I've never seen this before so clearly. It's fun to see the Bhagavad Gita again and again, and certain things stand out to you each time. And this seems really trivial. You may wonder what in the world is he worrying about this silly word. But it stands out so much. Nowhere else in the Bhagavad Gita does Arjuna use that expression. He uses other soft, friendly expressions. It's true. He doesn't always use this very virile language of warriors. He sometimes uses more friendly terms. But the juxtaposition of that extremely soft term, O lotus-eyed one, contrasted with all of these really powerful, intense terms that follow, it's deliberate. It really calls attention to it. So it's just interesting to see that. All right, enough. So, in the first line, Arjuna says, O Lord, if you think it's possible for me to see your divine form, Yogeshwara, O Lord of Yoga, tataha, then, may, unto me, tvam, you, darshaya, show me. Show me. May darshaya, tvam, you show me. If you think it's possible for me to see, then show me, atmanam, your true self, avyayam, that eternal, unchanging, cosmic aspect of yourself. Darshaya me. Please show me. So Arjuna concludes his question here. But notice how he couches it. If you think I can see, if you think I can understand, if you think it's possible, he says. So let's see how Sri Krishna responds to that. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pashya me parta rupani, Pashya me parta. Shatashotasahasrashah Nana vidhani divyani Nana Nana varna kriti nicha Shri Bhagavan, the Blessed Lord, Uvacha, he said, he's replying to Arjuna, and he says, Pashya. As you would say, Deko. Look, see, may, my, Partha, O Arjuna. Notice also the soft form. O Partha is a very son of Prithu. It's like calling someone by the son of your mother. mother's son. So that's a very friendly form of address. So Arjuna is used, with the exception of that Kamala Patraksha, all the other terms were these really mighty terms of address. But here, Sri Krishna uses a very friendly. Arjuna is a buddy here. So Partha, O Arjuna, Pashya. Look, see. Me rupani. Me, my, rupani, forms. Please see my forms. Shatashaha, hundreds of forms. Atha sahasrashaha, not hundreds, thousands. O Arjuna, see my forms. Hundreds of forms, thousands of forms. Now, this verb, pasha, dekho, please see, it's really in a little bit of the future sense. O Arjuna, please get ready to see, is the sense. O Arjuna, I'm about to show you. Pay attention, please see, please look. So the actual revelation has not yet taken place. The language might fool you, but the revelation of the Vishwarupa will come in several verses. But to prepare for that, Sri Krishna says here, Pashya, please look, watch. Watch. That's a good translation. Watch, Arjuna, as I reveal to you all of my forms in the hundreds and thousands, which are nana vidhani, of many forms, nana vidha, of many forms, divyani, they're divine forms, many divine forms, nana varna, of many colors, and kritini, and shapes, of many colors and shapes. Please see, Arjuna, as I reveal my forms in the hundreds and thousands, forms of nana vidhani of many kinds, which are divyani, which are divine, nana varna kritini cha, forms which are of many colors and many shapes. So this is Sri Krishna's reply to Arjuna, and this idea continues here. Pashyadityan vasun rudran, pashyadityan vasun rudran, ashvinau marutastata, ashvinau marutastata, bahunya drishta purvani, bahunya drishta purvani, pashyashcharyani bharata. So he continues, Pashya, Deko, please see, please watch. Watch and see what? See Adityan, see the Adityas. Remember in a prior chapter where Sri Krishna says, among the Adityas, I am this. Among the Vasus, I am that. Among the Rudras, I am this. These are categories of deities. There are Adityas, I think 12 Adityas. There are Vasus, there are 8 Vasus. There are Rudras, there are 11 Rudras. So in a prior class, or prior chapter, we saw these category of deities. And in each case, Sri Krishna says, among this category or cadre of deities, I am the best. I am the greatest. We saw that in a prior chapter. Now he says, Pashya, please look and see Adityan. See all the Adityas. Not just the one, which is Sri Krishna. But please see all the Adityas. Please see all the Vasun, all the Vasus, all 8 of the Vasus. Not just the one, which is Sri Krishna. You can see all 8. You can see all 11 Rudras, Rudran. You can see Ashwinau, too. The 2 Ashwins, these are all the categories of deities. All of these, and you can see the Marutaha, you can see all the Maruts, I don't remember how many. Please see, Arjuna, you can see all of these, Tata, in that manner, you can see all of this. It's all included among the hundreds and thousands of divine forms that Sri Krishna said in a prior verse that he would see. See Bahuni. All of these, bahuni, the many, all of these many, are adrishta purvani. They have never been seen before. This is startling. Adrishta purvani.
never been witnessed before, not by man, not by gods. Arjuna here is being given an incredible opportunity. Adrishta Purva. Sri Krishna has never revealed his cosmic form in any other situation, not to any human being, not to any deity. Arjuna is being given this incredible opportunity, and of course, we are too, because we are looking over Arjuna's shoulder, so to speak. Imagine Arjuna in the chariot, and you've probably seen in some movie or something. It's kind of funny the way they show it. Arjuna's looking, and then they show Arjuna looking, looking, and looking, and looking, and Arjuna's head. As Sri Krishna reveals that vast, immense form, Arjuna's head goes back, trying to take in the magnitude of the Lord's form. And all of us, picture all of us standing behind Arjuna, and all of us in unison, our heads are going back as we attempt to see the whole of the Lord's form. Or seriously, we really have this very special opportunity, not just as we study chapter 11, but as we study this whole Bhagavad Gita. We come here every Saturday morning, and it's a wonderful routine. I love it, and hopefully most of you also enjoy it as much as I do. We spend this time with Bhagavad Gita. There's a tendency, though, what we do routinely, the tendency we take it for granted. Naturally, we take it for granted. But this verse calls attention to the fact that we have this incredible opportunity. Arjuna is being given the opportunity to see something, adrishta purva, something which has never been seen before. Now, the Bhagavad Gita, of course, has been taught many, 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 how many times before? You can't count how many times before. And I've taught it before several times. But every time we come to Bhagavad Gita, we see new things. We have an opportunity to see something new. As I was delighted earlier in this class. Look at it, Swami Tadatmananda gets so excited over one word, Kamala Patraksha. I get really excited. I've never seen that before so vividly. Why is this incredible? Oh, lovely eyed one. You know, how does this come? And I admit that that's a little trivial, but there are so many profound things to be seen in the Bhagavad Gita. You may have studied these verses before any number of times, but there's so much more we can see, we can discover in this Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna has this rare opportunity. We also, and myself included, as much or more than any of you, we all have this opportunity each time we pick up the Bhagavad Gita to be blessed so much, even as Arjuna is being blessed here. So, bahuni, all of these things, all of these many things, which are adrishta purvani, which have never been seen before. And Sri Krishna says, pashya. You can see them. O Arjuna, watch. Just see. All of these ashcharyani, all of these wonders, all of these glories. Arjuna, pashya. Just watch. Bharata, he addresses Arjuna, O greatest of the lineage of Bharat, the king, the founder of what we now call India. O Arjuna, pashya, watch as I reveal to you bahuni, all of these many forms which are adrishta purvani, which have never been seen before, which are ashcharyani, which are wonders and glories to behold. Ihai kastam jagat kritstam, ihai kastam jagat pashyadya sacharacharam, pashyadya mama dehe gura kesha, yachan yatrashtum itchasi, yachan.
prior verse, Sri Krishna says, you're going to behold all these things. Well, does that mean that Arjuna is going to have to leave the battlefield to see all these things? I mean, if there's so many and so varied, if you want to see the world, you have to travel the world. If you want to see the cosmos, you have to travel the cosmos. Well, here, Sri Krishna is revealing the cosmos, but right here. Iha, here. Ekas kam, in one place. Here, in one place. Idam kritsnam jagat, kritsnam, this entire jagat, this entire universe. Pashya, look, see, watch. Adya, right now, here and now. Iha, here, adya, now. Ekastam, in this one place. Pashya, please see. Kritsnam jagat, this entire universe, sacharacharam, with everything that moves and doesn't move, everything that's animate and inanimate, and where should Arjuna see all of this? Mama dehe. See all of this in my body. Right here. In my form, in my body. Gudakesha, he addresses Arjuna, one with thick hair. Means he's young and virile and strong warrior. O mighty Arjuna, please see all of this. Mama dehe, in my body. All of this, yatcha, and also, see all of that, and also, anyat, anything else, drashtum, itchasi. Anything else, itchasi, you want, drashtum, to see. You can see all this and anything else you want to see. Arjuna says, please reveal to me this much. And, but suppose Arjuna didn't ask for enough. Lord Krishna replies, no, you can see all that, yatcha, and also anyat, and anything else, drashtum icchasi, anything else that you want to see, all of this, you will see iha, here, adya, now, ekastam, in this one place, what is that place? Mama dehe, in my body. Then, natu mam shakyase drashtum, natu mam anenaiva swachakshusha, anenaiva divyam dadami te chakshuhu, hashyame yogam aishwaram. Natu. Tu means but. But, Arjuna, there's always a but. You know that? You know, somebody is telling you how wonderful things are going to be. You're going on a holiday, you're going on a vacation, and all the arrangements have been made, such wonderful arrangements have been made for you on your vacation. But, do you mind sharing your room with 18 other people? But, there's always a but. So here, two. But, Arjuna, na shakyase. You are not able. Na shakyase. You are not able. Drashtum. To see. To see what? Mam. Me. But, Arjuna, you are not able to see me. Anena eva chakshusha. Anena, with this, chakshus, with this eye. So here, Sri Krishna says, anena, with this chakshusha, with this eye. You can imagine Sri Krishna in the chariot with Arjuna, pointing to Arjuna's eye, saying, Arjuna, you're not able to see me with this eye. Anena, eva, with this eye alone, eva. With this eye alone, Arjuna, you're not able to see me. Therefore, divyam chakshuhu, divyam, divine, chakshuhu. Chakshu doesn't mean eye here, it means sight, the power of sight. Divyam chakshuhu, divine sight. Divya drishti, divine sight, same meaning. This divine sight, dadami, I give. O Arjuna, divyam chakshuhu, divine sight dadami, I give te unto you. And with that divine sight, pashya, see. See what? Me, yogam, aishwaram. Please see me, my, yogam. Now here, yoga, we saw this in the prior verse. Yoga had an unusual meaning. That meaning was power. Yoga has many meanings. So here it means power. Please see me, yogam, my power. What kind of power? Aishwaram, godly, lordly power. Please see my godly power. O Arjuna, you're not able to see me with these eyes of yours, but I will grant you this divine power of seeing. Please see my godly power. Where do we want to stop here? Actually, that's a good place to stop. Let's talk just briefly here about this idea of divya drishti. The ability to see what can't otherwise be seen. You know, this is such an important topic. I don't want to bring it up at the very end of a class, because then we'll shortchange this topic. So we're going to save it for the next class. This is actually a good breaking point. We'll just end a few minutes early today, because we'll talk about this in the next class as Divya Drishti, and then we'll proceed with the verses. And it looks like at some point we're going to have to pull this projector down and try to fix that. So I hope, does this bother you too much, this flashing? It's a little bit of a nuisance. We'll get it fixed. Actually, good to stop a few minutes early, because we have several announcements to make. And I'm going to make several announcements today. Some very happy announcements. One is...